Thank you for calling Financial Services. To proceed in English, please say English.
English.
Thank you. Would you like to check your account balance?
Yes.
Please say account balance.
Account balance.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. If you would like to check your account balance, please say account balance.
Operator.
To speak with an operator at any time, please say operator.
Operator.
Did you say operator?
Yes.
Please say yes or no.
Yes.
Our automatic voice processing system is easy and convenient. Are you sure you'd rather speak with an operator? If I should connect you to an operator now, please say yes. Otherwise, say no.
Yes.
Did you say yes?
Yes.
Okay. Please stand by for the next available operator. Hi, this is a human operator.
Hey, I just need to, wait. What?
Hi, this is an operator. Let's have a normal human interaction.
No, I want to talk to an actual person.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand. Would you like to check your account balance?
I'm going to stab you in the EEPROM.
Please don't.
Oh, you understood that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, June 4th, 2007. And you are listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep for On Technology and Trends for your headspace and timing. Yes, your primary cyberpunk news source. Rant Media, your primary cyberpunk news media station, is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are taking a stand for free speech as well. You can follow up on all of these news stories and check my facts by going to my live journal. And let's not forget, you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN176 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, where they're all like, all they do is listen to Wild Boys by Duran Duran over and over. No, I'm lying. WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio, Extreme Radio Tampa, Jeeper One Radio, Jeepers, and Risk Radio, and everyone else who happens to distribute this program, who I don't have not read out there, if I haven't called out anyone, and you know somebody who's distributing the program on a radio, any kind of internet radio, any kind of broadcast medium, please let me know. If you have access to shortwave radio equipment, I don't know if anyone's broadcasting this show over shortwave. Be neat if they could do that. Be cool if they could, and I'd like to broadcast over shortwave. I don't have the kit or the equipment to do that just yet. It would involve a lot of time on my hands to do that, but if there's somebody out there who'd want to help and join the Army of Flying Monkeys to do that, I'd like to hear from you, newsreel@rantradio.com. I wanted to say thank you very much for the support on the computer thing. A lot of people have been asking, hey, Sean, what's going on here? Did you get a new job because you're already talking about computers again and stuff like that? Yes, I have actually landed an IT day job. I work in a skyscraper. It's very base level position where they pay me next to nothing and they beat me three times a day. No, they don't beat me three times. They're really nice people down there. And I commute into Vancouver. I work in downtown. So I commute on a train every day. And just like a lot of you listening to this program, I have joined your ranks. I could be on the train with you. I understand. And I just wanted to say thank you so much to everyone who's been like, oh, wow, you're getting back into that. That's great. And I've gotten a flood of email, people sending me links and support and audio sources. I mean, server really does provide for me. And I got to tell you, how did I land the job? I got the job through the military, not through the military in that the Army set me up. One of the people I used to work with, he landed me the job, and because he's now working in that field. And I just wanted to say, hey, you know what? That's why I tell people to join the Army. Not because I think the Army will sort you out, which, you know, you'll learn a few things. Suffering does beget wisdom, after all. But a lot of the times the contacts you make in there will wind up being sort of a social network that can provide a better lifestyle for you. Even though my days are long and involved, and since I live quite a distance from Vancouver, it makes for a rather long commute. We're talking about 13-hour days. It's hard. It's hard. You know, it's different when you're working doing security as a gig, which I still work, by the way, because I don't make enough money. But I have two jobs now. I have two jobs, plus the radio show, plus wife, plus dog. Plus. I'm very fortunate. I'm not complaining at all. I feel very blessed that everyone has been as supportive as they have. And sometimes, you know, I just lean back in my El Cheapo faux Naga hide office chair here and I say, wow. You know, it's amazing the amount of support that I get from Server via all of you. Server is the medium. You are the people who support me. And I just wanted to say, hey, you know what? All bullshit aside, thank you very much. It's just incredible to me. And now I've got to drink from the fire hose. There's so much data I've got to learn. I mean, there's lots of room for advancement in the company that I'm now with. And I have to, you know, kind of learn about, oh, God, networking and security and Cisco and, oh, Jesus. But right now I'm kind of like the toady mailboy kind of guy. So it's but it's going somewhere, hopefully. So for all of you out there who are concerned about me, thank you very much. Things are going well in my life, and maybe down the road I might actually learn a thing or two. It's interesting. Being in my new position, you know, you ever notice if you work in a geek trade, like if you're an IT person and you're involved in that kind of a world, there's a lot of alpha male geek status going on. Like the guys with the biggest brains, you know, if there's a problem, pretty soon there's a crowd of engineers all crowded around a computer, and they'll be like, you know, discussing the problem, trying to establish alpha geekdom. Which I find to be really neat, you know, and I sit back and I'm totally not in that game because I, you know, my ego died of overfeeding some time ago. So I just, you know, I look at it now and I marvel. I marvel at, you know, just the brain power of some of the people that I work with, you know, and it's pretty daunting. And when I think of some of the emails I get from some of the listeners, you know, guys listening to the show are way smarter than I am. Well, they have a lot more knowledge than I do. Saying that someone's smarter than you is kind of a misnomer, because how do you measure that? I mean, how do you measure your brain power, really? Is it done by imagination? You know, is it done by IQ? Does your IQ? I don't know. It's hard to measure that stuff. Mind you, they're starting to do with brain scanners now, aren't they? And who knows even how accurate that is. But I just wanted to say, once again, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Okay, enough groveling and sniveling. Let's get into some feedback. Hey, man, love what you're doing over there. Can't wait to hear from Patrolling and SKTFM. There have been quite a few major events happen over here. This is within England in the last couple of months. I.e., there's been a clampdown on certain dogs you can have in Manchester, where all the staffies were asked to be turned over to be put down. So, hey, give us your dog. We want to kill it. Yeah, that would happen. I remembered this and thought about a segment on Ranger and eugenics for animals and just wondered if people should still respect the police if they want our dogs/companions dead. Well, that's not the police's fault. Okay, that's not the cops doing that. That's policy, and they happen to be the sharp end of the stick. So, I don't know about you, but if people want to show up to kill your dog, that's, wow. I don't know, man. You're going to have to make a judgment call on yourself with that one. Based on this, I've been writing a novel, sort of a dystopian community after 7 July bombings, possibly going to put a few pages online soon. Well, you know, just keep at it. Do a certain number of words every day. It's the only way you can complete it. But I also wondered how I'd go about getting published or secure Medium online. Love what you're doing. Have been distributing the episodes through my uni server. Getting a few people asking about it, so I referred them to your live journal. Thank you very much. Why is it you got banned from Wikipedia? I was not banned from Wikipedia. I heard it was for leaking military secrets. Now, that's a new one on me. Apparently, there's a rumor going around that I got kicked off Wikipedia because of leaking military secrets. Okay, this is really funny. I did not start the Wikipedia article. And when I got back involved with the military, I tried to delete my own Wikipedia article because I didn't, you know, want the Army, you know, to do a background check and all this kind of stuff, find out I'm this the big thing, and then people think I'm some kind of threat, you know, because I'm not. Well, when I deleted it, Wikipedia sent me this big nasty gram saying, "Who do you think you are?" And so I was like, okay, fine, whatever. I, you know, you guys are going to go crazy with it, whatever. You want to keep me on your website, I don't care. Okay, I got a huge digital footprint anyway. It really doesn't make a difference. Well, then a little while later, I guess I was started talking about how I didn't agree with Wikipedia's policy on pedophiles. If you look up pedophilia on Wikipedia, they kind of portray it as a lifestyle. And I don't agree with that. I think it's a crime, blah, 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 blah. You know, you've heard it all before. Kill the pedophiles, right? So after I said that, I got a couple of really strongly, very articulate, I may add, very, very well thought out, very articulate emails calling me a bigot because I don't like pedophiles, you know, playing the whole, you know, some kind of equating it with homophobia or something like this, which, let's be very clear, there's quite a decisive line between homosexuals and pedophiles. Let's be certain on that. But, you know, in my world anyway, you know, that's how I think of it. I don't think that homosexuals and pedophiles, that's like saying pedophiles and St. Bernards. You know, they're totally different species of creature, you know. But anyway, after that, I basically told them to blow it out their ass. And miraculously, my article got deleted from Wikipedia, which my response is, oh, well, fuck you. You don't want me on your website. I don't care. Because let's be serious. Wikipedia is a website, right, with zero checks and balances other than the mass, right? So it's like kind of like if we all agree on history, this is what history is versus, you know, fact and whatever. I mean, Wikipedia is it's a great site because, you know, there's a lot of stuff. I'll use it. Shit, I go there all the time just to kind of like if there's a term I don't understand where I'll bang it in there. Chances are it's on there. Sure, great. But I definitely wasn't kicked off of Wikipedia for leaking military secrets. I love the rumor, though. That's a great rumor. But no, that was, and I don't even know, to be honest with you, I don't even know if it was because of the pedophilia thing. I don't know that for certain. I suspect it, but I don't know. They said it was because they thought my entry there, which I didn't make. I had nothing to do with the entry. Didn't type a word of it. They thought it was an ad for me, like somebody was advertising me. Which is kind of funny because I give everything away for free other than my two books, which, you know, I sell because they're books. I don't know how that could, but they said it was an ad. So they took it down for advertising reasons. That's the official story. And they threw me in a category before they threw it off called an ambiguous human name, which I thought was really funny. So I changed my LiveJournal entry to Sean Kennedy, ambiguous human name. And that's where that LiveJournal entry comes from. So that's the story as I understand it. You know, I don't have a problem with the people at Wikipedia. I think they're okay guys. They're doing their thing. I mean, there's lots of information available for free on there. Some of their policies I don't agree with. But hey, you know what? Live and let live. Let's all get on the same page. And there's bigger fish to fry. Don't go, you know, all the hacksaws out there. Don't go shutting off Wikipedia. They're good people over there. They got one or two guys that are probably got their head up their ass. But, you know, you can say thing be said everywhere. And you know what? You talk to the right guys, they'll tell you that I've got my head up my ass. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. You know, there's no reason to get all wrapped around the axles because you happen to disagree with somebody. So that's as I understand it. I don't think I got banned from Wikipedia. I mean, banned is probably not the right, you know, term to use there. But, yeah, that's the story behind that. But anyway, sorry for asking so many questions. Not much out there. Seems to be on a level of freedom of media. Thanks so much. Blah, blah, blah. But, and this is from a guy named Sean Kennedy. Not the fucking man, but I am the evil carrot. So there's another Sean Kennedy out there in Manchester. Well done. The Seans will take over. It's kind of funny because Sean is like a very typical Irish name. Like S-E-A, it's like the John of the Irish world, quite literally. And Kennedy is the Smith of the Irish world. So Sean Kennedy, there's like 17 billion Sean Kennedys floating around. Which is funny because people go, you use your real name. Yeah, but my real name is like John Smith. How many John Smiths are there? You know what I mean? You can't throw a dead cat in Ireland without hitting a Sean Kennedy. So it's okay. It's okay. More feedback. Dear Sean, I actually enjoyed The Bloodstained Rabbit. That was my first book. Quite a bit. So please stop ripping on yourself about it. Well, I'm getting... Oh, okay. Sorry. Concerning the whole happy ending, bad ending debate, I have to agree with Sim. I like the good old Lovecraftian tradition of a main character's ending up either horribly insane or dead. Well, you know, I'm not exactly nice to my characters. Anybody who's read my books, like, my characters go through shit. I did enjoy imagining Steve and Jerry's sanity points trickling down the drain. The story itself was grisly enough to make up for the lack of a horrible ending. Well, thank you. I'm anxiously awaiting my copy of The Scadwings of Abaddon. Keep up your writing. Your fan, Nuruk. Well, it's nice. It's nice. I'm kind of secretly, I have a secret hope that people will prefer my horror to my science fiction, because my heart will always belong to dark tendriled monsters in other dimensions and humans fighting valiantly, although maybe futilely, against them. So, you know, but, you know, I'm getting a lot more information and data on the science fiction side. And realistically, let's be real here, I will always write horror. I will always write horror. I may write horror with a science fiction twist, which is what Afternow is. Let's be real. Afternow is a horror genre. Okay, it's, yes, it's science fiction, but it's dark, 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 dark science fiction. I mean, come on, one of the episodes I had a guy with his arms and legs cut off routing, you know, snuff porn. Okay, like, wow, bad, you know, dark ass shit. If that's not horror, man, I don't know what is. More feedback. Dear Sean! Boy, has that become cliche. Not really, I like it. My new ISP streams your show and for free. Well, thank you, your new ISP. If you, you know, want to give me their name, I'll put them on the little distribution list. And since this discovery, I've been hooked. I'm 17, I live in Australia, and wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Good for you. Most of the shows I hear are half a decade old, and it scares me how increasingly relevant they still are, and the majority of people still don't have a fucking idea about how fucked up the world really is. It scares me that I've been broadcasting for half a decade. I really can thank my country's current affairs TV shows. For one thing. If I ever accidentally drink something toxic, I can watch one of them to induce vomiting. It disgusts me that they go from a staged, heartless story about my country's war veterans to the ANZACs, Australian New Zealand Army Corp, and for the pure sake of rantings, and then throw you a story immediately after how to make your backside smaller in your lunch break. I'm not even 18! And there are middle-aged people who almost religiously believe everything these parasites on TV say. I'm certainly not alone. On our country's one public broadcaster channel, it's not even controlled by corporate political pigs, there's a group of people who are rallying for huge support. The show is called The Chaser's War on Everything, which is a show you can check it out. Five young men terrorize politicians, CEOs, corporations, all with video cameras. Very dangerous stuff, by the way. Very dangerous stuff to be doing that. You'll be listed as a terrorist, so probably not the best adjective to use there. One example is they sent donations to political parties under organizations such as the Ku Klux Klan, Man Boy Love Association, even Al-Qaeda, all of which were approved. Proof that money is more important to them than knowing even who supports them. Interesting. They've made fun of politicians to the extent they'll have to go even that they'll know it's them even under a Ku Klux Klan outfit. They've been offered a deal to go to America and fuck with the Americans for a movie. So this is kind of neat. You know, if you want to check that out, that might be something cool coming out of Australia. That was sent to me by Leech Time Leech. Thank you so much. Hey, Sean, more feedback. Loving the feedback. This isn't exactly a comment. This is more of an information thingy. Well, that's kind of how, that's kind of, you know, what the show is. It's an information thing. I don't know how to say it, but the important thing is that I'm 14 and I'm concerned. I am a concerned American at 14. Jesus. Well, you're not. It's kind of funny, because at 14, you know, you probably don't know a shitload about the world, really. But, I mean, that said, I don't want to be too incredibly ageist. I mean, you're still developing. You should probably not be listening to the show, because I swear too much. You should not, don't swear, okay? Trust me, just try to eliminate the swearing. It makes your life easier. Most of my friends think I'm a great speaker, etc. I see the truth in what people say, and I'm good at psychology. I practically see what people want to say. I listen to Newsreel a lot and watch your shows. I think you're great, and if I had my way, I suggest you run as a third-party president. Yeah! Wow, I think they've, you know, people with the name last name Kennedy are not so good with politics in the United States, generally. So I don't think I'd want to do that. I don't think anyone could do better. I'm particularly concerned about the next elections. I mean, seriously, it's a bunch of bullshit. Everyone running will do a horrible job. So yes, knowing you, I wouldn't be surprised if you've gotten something like this before. But guess what? I have even more. My school supports propaganda. My history teacher is the worst. She puts out her own history practically. I've read textbooks all my life, and I know that half of the things she says are lies. It's pretty brutal when a 14-year-old can read his own textbooks and identify lies coming from teachers. and often I call her on it and correct her. Oh yeah, she hates me for it. Yes. Yes, not a good thing to do. And I believe she's actually tried to get me kicked out of the class before. It's hard to tell if she acts weird too much. You know, I see shades of myself in you, my friend, and listen to the words coming out of my mouth. There is a book you need to read. You will not get anywhere by picking fights with people in authority. Okay, you have to be more subversive than that. To practice your subversive nature, I would look at any of the audiobooks you can download by Brian Tracy are good. I'm trying to think of
There's one on self-confidence, which was really good, done by Brian Tracy. And as well, I would look at Dale Carnegie's book, How to Make Friends and Influence People, because that is also, if I was to read that when I was 14 and apply the techniques taught within there, you could be quite a scary person by the time you're 21. I'm almost right in my corrections, too. For example, my teacher called the United States Great American Melting Pot. I'm sure you've heard the term before. But when I asked her, do we build wall? Then I asked her, why do we build wall to keep other people out? Yes, yes, it's two. It goes on to talk about more of his examples. But I'm glad that there's young people thinking. I'm glad there's young people trying to, you know, figure out what the truth is, what is happening within our society, and what is happening within America, so that we can try to keep some sort of freedom going on. And if you keep picking fights, see, the thing is now, when I was a kid, the dinosaurs were still roaming the earth, and the earth was still cooling, and there wasn't, you know, pharma-fascism going to put you in camps and declare you antipsychotic and list you as a terrorist. If your teacher wants to screw with your world, she's in a position that she could report you, she could do all this kind of stuff, and before you know it, before you even hit 18, you're going to wind up in a camp. So yes, you're not going to change anything by arguing with your teacher. Your teacher is not going to admit that you're right. So what you need to do is you need to be more subversive. Listen to the words coming out of my mouth. I know of which I speak. If you keep going like this, picking fights with your teachers, all you're going to do is label yourself as a problem, and they'll wind up putting you in a camp. And I've got more news stories based on that. And I know you want to scrap. I know you're young, you're full of hormones. Until you discover girls, you're going to think that this is the shit. But listen, man, I'm here to tell you, don't make yourself a target. Okay? It's not like it used to be. Now they will medicate the shit out of you and declare you a problem child and fuck you up for the rest of your life. So keep that in mind, anti-hippie soldier. Dear Sean, if state and local governments are dependent on utility and fuel taxes, what possible incentives could they have to promote energy and self-sufficiency, solar panels, etc.? That's from Nay Tudell. None. There is no possibility, hence why it has been done. Good point. Dear Sean, this would be referring to a show from a little while back, as I know I'm a little behind on listening to my shows, as you're a little bit behind. Yeah, the people reply, I'm sorry, Sean, I don't listen to you. I don't know if maybe it's been touched on again, yet I hate to bring up old news, but I had some thoughts I wanted to pass on to you. That's fine. Stories in general about the guy who wanted to opinion on what he should do about the Westboro Baptist Church coming in to protest the soldiers' funerals. I don't know if anyone... I got a lot of email on this. A lot of people talked about this. Now, I do agree with you for the most part, as far as your response went. As listening to Rant Radio, I've done my best to adhere to the if you don't believe in freedom of speech for your enemies, then you don't believe in freedom of speech at all. Which is, that's difficult. It's a hard mantra to maintain. And I prevent myself from tearing things down from bulletin boards and the like that are rather unsettling and just plain annoying for a while. Now, that's slightly different because things on bulletin boards are corporations. Corporations are not people. Therefore, they do not have the same rights and freedoms. And certainly, I don't think running out and beating the hell out of those retards would really help matters either. Hey, don't call them retards. There's a lot of mentally handicapped peoples that are way smarter than the Westboro Baptists, even though it would be hella funny to watch. Granted. However, What's stopping me is that this guy, for instance, However, what is stopping me, or that guy in this instance, from speaking his own mind? I'm pretty sure one of the things he mentioned was to just go essentially out and protest the protesters, holding up his little own sign or whatever. The guy should be able to go there, have his own say, while still letting the crazies have theirs. It's a perfectly nonviolent fashion. This is true. He could do that. The way you responded made him seem like you should just not say anything at them at all, or does it seem fair for some reason? Well, no. That's exactly what the bikers did who showed up and did that. He was saying that he should stop them, okay, using physical action, direct action stopping of them from doing that. I didn't want to imply that he shouldn't go there and wave his own sign. I believe that standing around waving signs is a big waste of time. I do. A lot of people disagree with me. You know, they feel the need to go out there and protest and raise awareness, whatever the fuck that means. I would argue that there's better ways to spend your energy to make a better example of how to promote, you know, a different agenda. So rather than just waving a sign. It's just like my own bulletin board example of even your bumper sticker one. Would there really be any harm in snatching up a pen and writing what I think about a message on the bottom of a bulletin board or bumper sticker? Well, technically it's vandalism. So long as I'm not removing the message or scribbling all over the original text, then I'm still allowing them their freedom of speech and getting in my own point at the same time. That could be argued. I wouldn't think there'd be any harm in doing something like that. Well, you wouldn't think so. The cops may disagree. I could probably go on, but this ought to be long enough. Just wanted to throw in your thoughts on it. Keep up the good work. One-winged Angel 162. Well, glad to hear from you. And, of course, you have a valid point. Lots of people out there, everyone does have the right to say what they want, do what they want. And I am by no means any sort of authority. I mean, just ask anyone. I'm just some ambiguous human name. So, you know, you could be able to do what you like and get involved on the level that you so choose. Just, you know, if you're going to buy the ticket, you have to take the ride. And if you can't afford the penalty, you know, maybe you shouldn't be playing the game. So that's just something to think of. One of my big concerns, one of my big fears, I suppose you could say, is that I don't want young people who, you know, haven't lived a whole hell of a lot, like my 14-year-old friend there, making decisions and screwing up their lives from a lack of information. You know what I mean? One of the greatest wasted resources we have in this country, never mind all the other wasted resources we have, but one of the greatest ones are senior citizens. Nobody listens to senior citizens at all. Doesn't happen. You want advice? Go to an old folks home. Go to an old folks home and talk to those people. They will bend over as much as they can to help you. Okay, they will seriously do anything they can in their power because nobody listens to them, even though they've got, like, you know, 80, 90 years of experience. Nobody listens to these guys. Nobody listens to old people. I don't know why that is, but trust me. Trust me, trust me, trust me. We are not utilizing people's age and wisdom. I'm only 33. Done a little bit of living in my time. Not a hell of a lot, okay? So if you don't buy my advice, which, you know, there's huge arguments to be made to not do that, for God's sakes, get to your local old folks' home and start running stuff through there. I've often thought that someone should make a forum, like some sort of like senior citizen forum where people could like post questions and it would be broadcast to old folks' homes, and then the people, like, you know, they have a question about the Second World War or whatever, and you'd have vets responding or people working on dams and blah, 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 blah. But quite often, the problem with that is that, you see, old folks, they tell the truth, you know. And that's not real popular. The truth is not really popular. If all you ever did was tell the truth, people eventually run when they've seen you coming. This is hard to bullshit old people. You know, it really is, provided they've got all their faculties and their brains haven't been rotted from too much aspartame or God knows what else we medicate the hell out of them for. But, you know, I just think that that's an unused resource. Or perhaps a definitely underused resource. On to Sort Yourself Out. Now, I'm going to cue the soft music here. Dear Sean, now I've edited this message so that I've taken away all the things that, you know, might identify Buddy. But I get a lot of these kind of emails, so I don't usually do personal love life advice, but here we go. Dear Sean, I'm having some real problems right now. I'm not even sure if my feelings are right or wrong. Well, they're not right or wrong, dude, they're feelings. I know it's the worst idea in the world, but I made a choice, and now I'm forced to deal with it. I've been involved with my ex for some time, on and off with her for years. She says she loves me, and I understand how hurt she may be if I keep breaking up with her. But I've gotten closer even though she's seeing someone else, and I was seeing someone else, both long distance, both of you cheating. I'm already aware that it's a horrible idea, but the point is she found out, and I had to come back into contact with an old friend from when I was little, and she does not like that one bit. I'm really excited to be in contact with my new person. This is another girl when he's in love with his ex. And we seem to be hitting it off great. And I'd really love to get involved with a friendship with her again. And when my ex found out about this, this is his ex who, you know, he's on and off again with, who obviously he's in love with. She started telling me that made her jealous. This is the ex who's currently involved with somebody else telling the other guy who's cheating that now she's jealous. This is so Jerry Springer it hurts. She didn't want me getting close to her because I might realize that I like her, blah, blah, blah. I think it's rather hypocritical of her to say that. Dude, this whole email is psycho-hypocritical. Since she's got two boyfriends, what right does she have to tell me who I can and cannot talk to? Dude, you're already cheating on... Like, you've already cheated on your other girlfriend. I really need some direction here. Yeah, you got that right. But just another viewpoint on things other than my own, because I'm lost. I'm still struggling with bigger issues that this is getting in the way of. Your fan, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, okay. First of all, okay, I am a married man. Believe in being married. It's hard sometimes. I'm here to tell you. It's a hard sell sometimes. You know, some days you sit there and you go, whoa, maybe I could book out. You know, maybe I should just bend this whole thing. But I'm a fan of marriage. I think that it works. I think it's worthwhile. I think it's worth fighting for. Haven't always been the best at it. Haven't always been the best male husband in the world. That's a fact. Wouldn't claim that I was. What I'm saying here is I'm trying, and that's all that matters, okay? Now, that said, do not date your exes. This is not just from a married standpoint. This is just universally true. Go forwards. Last check, there's what, like 6 billion people on the planet? That makes room for like at least 3 billion women. You know, that's a lot of women, man. Don't date your exes. Just don't. Don't. Okay, if you want to get involved with some chick you knew when you were a kid or whatever, fine, fair ball. But you know what? Get out. Go see the world. Go date some chick in Paris. Go move or something, okay? Don't date your exes. The motto I use in all dating relationships is go forwards. Do not go backwards. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know where your head's at to you know, go and date your exes. Don't do that. For fuck's sakes. It never, ever, ever works. Ever. Does not happen. It works even less than long-distance relationships, which I've seen work. They're rare, really rare. But, dude, yeah, just don't date your exes, okay? And for fuck's sakes, you know, make a call and stick with it. Otherwise, you're not going to be much of a man. All right? Just stand up, get some conviction, and move forwards, and at least make a feeble attempt at being loyal. Just a feeble one. Not to rip on you too bad, because I think you're a decent person. It's just that you're a little bit confused. And right now, why not? Why not? I mean, on the news and everywhere, you know, I mean, you see ads for Vegas and they're practically telling you they got whorehouses set up 24/7. Welcome to the orgy, you know? I mean, hey, not to get all, you know, fundamentalist on you over here. I'm just saying that as an individual, it's probably not the healthiest thing in the world to go around whoring. Trust me, I know of which I speak. And it's even hypocritical for me to say that. Because when I was single, man, I was a man whore when I was single. But that was 10 million years ago, and people change. And today, ooh, it's a dangerous game today, man. Because like I said, when I was a kid, dinosaurs were still roaming the earth. And a Commodore 64 was the game of the year. Well, the computer of the year, anyway. Actually, I had a VIC-20. No shit. Anyway, in all honesty, just, you know, try to... I mean, it's fun to date. It's fun to go around. But if you're with someone, for fuck's sakes, be with them. And if it's not working, break it off. Don't go sampling the whole world. All right? And it doesn't matter what you say. It's what you do that matters. Okay? You can type a lot. You can do a lot of text. You can say a bunch of crap. I don't believe in cyber sex. I don't even think it's real. I think it's just text on a screen. Unless you're actually doing something, you're not really doing anything. You see what I'm saying? So that would be my standpoint. You know, it's not healthy. You know, there's a lot of stuff you shouldn't probably be doing. Like, I'm not a big fan of, you know, some people have open marriages and shit like that. Not something I agree with. I don't think it works. I don't think it's a really healthy environment. But, hey, you know, I could be wrong. You wanted my advice? Here it is. Go forwards. Bust up with don't date your ex. Move on. If it hurts and it sucks, then, oh, well, life is hard. Buy a helmet. So let's get into some news. In surveillance news sent to me by Jason. Thank you very much. Now, this is an interesting piece of news. It's kind of an editorial, but I think it was worthwhile. So I'm going to read this from his website, which you can link from my live journal. This guy went and he opened up my almost brand new Dell 600M laptop to replace a broken PCMMCIA slot riser on the motherboard. No problem, right? If you got the skills, why not? As soon as I got the keyboard off, I noticed a small cable running from the keyboard connection underneath a piece of metal protecting the motherboard. I figured no big deal and continued with the disassembly. But when I got to the metal panels off, I saw a small white heatsink wrapped package. A heatsink wrapped. That's interesting. I didn't know you could have heatsink wrappers. It's been a while since I've been in the computer game. Give me a chance, okay? I gotta catch up. Being ever curious, attaboy, I sliced open the heatsink open and found a circuit board inside. Now, being an electrical engineer by trade, this piqued my curiosity considerably. One side of the board is an Atmel ATMEL AT4DO41A 4 megabit flash memory chip. Interesting. On the other side is the Microchip Technology PIC16F876 programmable interrupts controller, along with a little Fairchild Semiconductor CD4066BCM quad bit lateral switch, for those of you far more knowledgeable than I. Looking further, I saw the other end of the cable was connected to the integrated Ethernet board. Danger? What could this mean? I called Dell Tech Support about it, and they said, and I quote, the integrated service tag identifier is here for assisting customers in the event of lost or misplaced personal information. Then they hung up. Bang! What the hell? a little more research, and I found out that the keyboard the circuit board that he'd found, spliced between the keyboard and the Ethernet chip, is a little more than a KeyGhost hardware keylogger built in to the Dell laptops. Holy crap. The reasons Dell would put this in their laptops can only be left up to your imagination. It would be very impractical to hand-analyze the logs and very CPU-intensive to do so on a computer for every person who purchases a Dell laptop. Why are these key loggers in there? Why are they hooked up to the Ethernet cards? I recently almost found out. I called the police, as having a key logger unknown to me in my laptop is a serious offense. Ho-ho! This guy's playing for keeps. They told me to call the Department of Homeland Security. At this point, I'm in disbelief. Why would the Department of Homeland Security have a keylogger in my laptop? This was surreal. So I called them. And this guy's got balls of clank, okay? So I called them, and they told me to submit a Freedom of Information Act request. And this was the letter he got back. Dear Mr. Blah, blah, we have reviewed your Freedom of Information Act request and have found that the request records are exempt from being disclosed under the Freedom of Information Act. The decision to withhold this information may be appealed, writings to the secretary, and about the Department of Homeland Security. Blah, 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 blah. You got 6 days to counter this offer. So, apparently, laptops made by Dell have keyloggers in them, hardwired, that hook up to the Ethernet card. Kind of frightening, don't you think? So, when I read about that, I'm like, Jesus Christ, that should be on the news. But it's not. So it's on my news, and I tell you about it. So maybe, you know, say no to Dell. You know, it wasn't enough that they used to do prison labor, and they used to use slave labor to make their computers. Maybe now is the time to just kind of stop buying the Dell stuff. That's just my opinion, in my humble opinion. In Kill Your TV News, sent to me by the Renegade Rabbit. Some of the most creative thinking in television these days has nothing to do with comedy or drama. It's about commercials. Yes. Fueled by a growing sense of desperation, networks are inserting games, quizzes, and mini-dramas into commercial breaks. They are incorporating more product pitches into programming. Two experimental programs without traditional commercial breaks will be premiering this fall. NBC has even called Jerry Seinfeld for help. This is all being done to stop viewers with DVRs from fast-forwarding through advertisements or to circumvent those that do. Adding to the urgency, this week Nielsen Media Research begins offering ratings for commercial breaks instead of just the shows around them. We all need to be more creative in how we incorporate sponsors into a program. Yeah, that's just what we want, said Ed Swindler. I'm not kidding, that's his name, Ed Swindler. Mr. Swindler thinks we need to be more creative about how we incorporate sponsors into a program. Mr. Swindler. He's the executive vice president of NBC Universal Ad Sales. Ed Swindler is the VP of Universal Ad Sales. Wow! Like, dude, change your name, man! No one on the creative side of the business side wants to make commercials intrusive, but we do need to make commercials efficiency so viewers can afford to get free television. Ah, yes, Mr. Swindler. I'm going to listen to you and all the snake oil you have to sell. How about you eat a bag of dicks? How about that? With a nice tall glass of shit to wash that down. Now, this should be prefaced with People Equal Shit by, Slipknot, or at very least the cover done by Richard Cheese in Abandoned Children News. Now, how do you know? This is like one of those little catchphrases. Bucky Fuller sent this to me. How do you know when your culture is got the J-Dam on your back rocketing towards the ground to turn yourself into a lawn dart? Okay, this is so bad, it hurts. Okay, a Japanese drop box for unwanted babies. Jesus Christ! Like, these are your kids, man! And in Japan, like, Asian people are quite into their kids last time I checked. I mean, over here, we don't care. I mean, we've had latchkey kids since the 80s. Now we're creating a nation of sociopaths by having them raised by daycare because both parents have to work. Not their fault. They got to work because, you know, we're in a slave wage state. Whatever. I don't have kids. There's a reason for that. I have the internet and all you who I have to look after. But no, honestly, it's like, you know, it's expensive. You know, I'll take, $2 million in fines and a 23-year sentence for one night of pleasure? No, I don't think so. I'm all about Planned Parenthood over here. A Japanese drop box for unwanted babies triggered a wave of nationwide soul-searching Wednesday. A day after it was discovered, a preschooler and not an infant had been dumped in there by his father on its first day of operation. So a guy showed up with a preschooler and dropped off like a three-year-old child in a drop box for infants. I don't want this kid. Fuck him. Nationally circulated newspapers warned that the anonymous drop-off, known as Stork's Cradle, is open for abuse and could traumatize youngsters. They also condemned the father, saying his actions could spur copycats. I would condemn him not because he would make copycats. I would condemn him because he's a spineless piece of shit who dropped off his kid. But anyway, the drop-off was opened last Thursday by the Catholic-run Jikai Hospital in the southern city of Kumamoto. Excuse my fucking up of your language, Japan, okay? To discourage the abortions and abandonment of children in unsafe public places. Okay, well, you know, generally the Catholics are kind of retarded that way. They're very, you know, anti-abortion and all that kind of stuff, and I don't agree with them. But at least, you know, this is not a bad idea, because there are people who, you know, the junkies, they can't afford it or whatever. So, you know, they have the kid. It's better than leaving this child to rot in a dumpster. You know, the boy was in good health. Reportedly said he's dropped off by his father, who was seen holding the youngster's hand as they approached the hospital. They apparently rode Japan's bullet train to Kumamoto, but it was unclear where they lived. I came with daddy, the boy was quoted as saying in the Mainichi newspaper. The fine triggered a wave of outrage among political leaders on Tuesday, with Prime Minister Shinzo Abe saying, anonymously throwing out a child is unacceptable. Thank you, Captain Obvious. He urged parents to consult social workers for help raising children if it gets too tough. Yeah, no shit. Like, no doubt, you know what I mean? I don't know why you would do that. I mean, if you have a child, your life priorities should change. It's not really a question between, you know, my career and my child. That is not a question there. Your priorities are messed up. And no, the answer is not to medicate your child into submission. That's not the idea. This is fantastic. We got kids that are being shuttled around all over North America, right? They get up in the morning, they're packaged, they get shipped off to the daycare. The daycare is run like a camp, okay, interestingly enough. And then, you know, they're shipped back home, and maybe the parents spend time with them, maybe they don't. Maybe they ship them to an evening daycare. Who knows? So the child knows automatically from a very early age that they are not as important as the job, okay? They are disassociative. Especially if you got brothers and sisters who are there. Sometimes it makes for a really strong family bond. But, you know, our family unit is completely dissolving, and it's making children feel as though they are products. And this will cause, you know, maybe not an entirely untrue psychological condition where they think, you know what, all I've got is me. Which is, that unfortunately is the case. All you got is yourself. You know, all is a self, all is myself, all is you and yours, and there is nobody else, man. So in today's day and age, you got crazy people, such as myself, who try to do stuff to help other people. But for the most part, there's a whole lot of people that are just trying to survive. And with these kids and all this stuff that's going on, man, we got to come up with something better. Or at least, as parents, you need to, you know, if you're listening to the show and you've got a baby, or you're having a baby, or whatever, you need to understand that that child is your priority. Period. There is no exception to that rule. So if that means that you got to change jobs or start working nights or something in order to look after your kids, dude, that's how you roll. Okay, that's the deal. Because if you don't, okay, you're going to build a monster. And that's not on. In Decker News, thank you to Destined. A 27-year-old man dubbed the Spam King by investigators has been arrested in Seattle. Now, you may have heard about this. Where he's been indicted on a charge of mail fraud, wire fraud, fraud in connection with electronic mail, and money laundering. Wow. Robert Allen Soloway owned Newport Internet Marketing Corporation, NIM, based in Seattle. He will appear before Seattle's district court this afternoon. Soloway is accused between 2003 and 2007 of offering broadcast email services with sent messages with false headers and were relaying using networks of proxy computers or botnets. Much of this service was fraudulent, including the claim that email addresses on the lists had opted in to receive such offers. Nobody opts in for spam. It just doesn't happen. Guarantees regarding the products offered were not honored and refunds refused. Soloway is also accused of constantly moving his websites to make anti-spam measures more difficult. Since last year, his websites have been registered with the Chinese ISPs to make providing his ownership of domains more difficult. Jesus Christ. He moved his websites... Since last year, his websites have been registered with the Chinese to make proving his ownership of domains more difficult. Wow, the false headers he put on emails led many people to have their legitimate email addresses or domains blacklisted by anti-spam groups. This guy's just making a lot of friends. The U.S. authorities are seeking $772,000, which Soloway made as a result of his nefarious activities. The Federal Trade Commission received hundreds of complaints about Soloway and NIM. His offenses also earn him a $250,000 fine and 5 years in prison for spam. Should he do 5 years in prison? I don't know. I mean, it is just spam. It is only spam. But he's doing damage. Mind you, guys who, you know, poke around where they shouldn't be are getting handed like 30-year sentences and stuff like that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see this one unfold. It will be interesting to watch this unfold. In Decker News, sent to me by Wyandi, thank you very much. Germany has just passed a new law that adds more anti-hacker provisions to the German criminal code. Well, it should be anti-cyber criminal, as hackers are just simply people who use code, but I digress. Although the new rules are meant to apply narrowly to hacking critics, critics already complaining that they may prevent necessary security and network research. Yes, that's true. The new rules tighten up the existing sanctions and prohibit any unauthorized user from disabling or circumventing computer security measures to access secure data. Manufacturing, programming, or installing or spreading software that has the primary goal of circumventing security measures is verboten, which means that some security scanning tools might become illegal. In theory, this applies only to illicit programs like Trojans, but some groups worry about how this new criteria will be applied. The Chaos Computer Club in Germany said of the decision, forbidding this software is about as helpful as forbidding the sale and production of hammers because sometimes they also cause damage. In addition, denial of service attacks are now explicitly illegal, even if they're done as pranks. Even if they're done as pranks? Who gives a shit why they're done? They're denial of service attacks. People convinced under the new law could face 10 years in prison and be held liable for monetary damages. Chaos Computer Club spokesman Andy Mueller Moggin, sorry about fucking up your name, buddy, said that safety research can now take place only in an unacceptable legal gray area. Yes, if hacking tools are made illegal, only hackers will have hacking tools, I guess. The group is also concerned about the new legislation will make it easier for the police to obtain information by hacking, something that was outlawed by the courts a few months back. So that's illegal too. But don't worry, they don't need to do that. They'll just go into your Dell computer and download all your data from the keylogger. Remotely, I might add. Germany's decision to tighten up the statute against hacking comes as the EU develops its own framework dealing with cybercrime. The European Commission is circulating a communication this week that seeks to start a dialogue on crafting European-wide policy to fight crime. That document suggests working first on international relations and cross-border police cooperation by additional legislation may also be carried out on a national level. So, you know, Germany's cracking down. There's a lot more stuff happening online. People are getting very, very twitchy, and they're starting to really choke out the internet. On that, in Big Brother news, or pardon me, in iBig Brother news, sent to me by Kwame Kozalot, Google, whose company motto is "Don't be evil." Okay, well, I don't know. I think they need to review their company mandate policy here. Google upped its stalker factor this week by adding face recognition abilities to its image search. Did you know that? While currently unofficial and unannounced, users can now search for images that only contain faces by appending a query string to the end of each search URL. For example, general images for Ars Technica, which is where the story's from, produce a variety of image results. But when you add the appending @img:type equals face to the end of the URL, all new results contain photos of people. The hidden feature was discovered by Google Blogoscoped, and is currently no way to indicate that you only want to search for faces through the image search interface. However, both image type equals face and image type equals news trigger different search results that were presented by default, the latter showing only images associated with news stories. The technology appears to be the fruit of Google's 2006 acquisition of Nevin Vision, a company that has developed techniques for facial recognition in photos. Nevin Vision comes to Google with deep technology and expertise around automating extracting information from a photo. could be as simple as detecting whether or not a photo contains a person, or one day as complex as recognizing people, places, objects, wrote Picasa product manager Adrian Graham, the official Google blog last August. He said this. So interesting stuff going on in the Google world. In robot news, I found this one. Scientists built an artificial cerebellum that improves interactions of robots with computers. Researchers at the University of Grenada are taking part in an important project at the European level called CPACT, aimed at reproducing an artificial cerebellum by using advanced computer technology. The application of the cerebellum allows androids to do similar tasks carried out by mammals that might help treat cognitive diseases such as Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. In addition to UGR, the project is supported by Sony, the German Aerospace Center, and the Universities of Edinburgh, Israel, and Paris. The cerebellum is a region of the nervous system which coordinates the sense receptors and locomotive apparatus. Thus, it controls such cognitive functions as attention, language, processing, music, or the abstraction of other sensorial stimuli such as temporal sequences. Hence, the significance of the study conducted by UGR coordinated research Ejiro Ross Vigil. And he goes on to say, although robots are increasingly more important to our society, they have more advanced technology, they cannot yet do certain tasks like those carried out by mammals. Continuous learning in real time is still a problem, says researcher Ross Vidal. Furthermore, building artificial cerebellums might yield some clues to treat cognitive diseases. Interesting stuff, no? And, you know, a special little news story to touch on that piece of feedback I got from that youngster, all of 14 years old. Well, in concentration camp news, thanks again to Kwame Kazalot, Halliburton, you know those guys that took all the guns away in New Orleans when the tragedy struck and then they moved their headquarters? Oh, no, that was, yeah, that was them. That was Blackwater because they're owned by Halliburton, right? And KBR, which also is owned by Halliburton. And they're the guys who are making all the money in Iraq right now, yeah. And they just moved all their headquarters to Saudi Arabia, which allows Blackwater to be, which is the largest private mercenary army in the world, which is being run by Saudi money. So I don't know why the Department of Homeland Security, you know, if there's anybody listening to the program, which I'm sure you are, perhaps you might want to consider that Saudi money is funding a private army on American soil that takes guns away from Americans. Just a thought there. You know, it's kind of hard for me not to scream that into a bullhorn and from like an orbital station. But anyway, Halliburton's former engineering and construction subsidiary has a contingency contract with the Department of Homeland Security to construct detention facilities in the event of a national emergency, according to the WMD columnist Jerome Corsi. As Corsi reported last week, President Bush recently signed a little-reported national security and homeland security directive granting extraordinary powers to the president in the event of the declared national emergency, apparently without congressional oversight. So if there's a big tragedy, like the 9/11 thing, which he was involved with, you know, he can just declare himself God Emperor of the world, and that's it. The Houston-based KBR, which is actually owned by Halliburton, which is not based in Houston but is actually based in Saudi Arabia, was awarded an initial $385 million contract in January of 2006 for 1 year, with a four-year options expanded into 2007. KBR held previous emergency detention contract with ICE from 2000 to 2005. So they've been talking about this for years. ICE spokesman Jamie Zubek told Corsi the primary intent of the contract was to build temporary detention centers that could be used in the event of a mass migration crisis. A mass migration crisis, i.e. there's a tragedy, people are trying to run into their own country to like go to the mountains or whatever, but no, you'll be picked up, rounded up in the trucks and sent to the camps. She confirmed these facilities could be employed in national emergencies, including natural disasters. Right. The idea of KBR contract is to support of the Army Corps engineers in case we experience a sudden mass immigration. A sudden mass immigration. So all of Mexico decides to go, fuck it, we're all going. Even though, you know, there's a border war going on right now where there's open gunplay happening all along the Mexican border, which nobody's talking about because, of course, you'll lose your slave labor population if you were to do that. The KBR is building these camps to put Americans in. So we got Saudi-owned. You've got the Saudi Arabians, not only with a private army who will round you up, they're now also building concentration camps in America to put you in. So, you know, I wonder if they're going to, you know, get some ovens built, too. Today's is Flashcards Online. Thank you very much, Sly Tentacle. Flashcards allow you to memorize anything with flashcards. But this site is the home to a memorizable tables, which are efficient flashcard-like way to memorize information on a web page. Click, edit, selection, edit, whole page, create a page, blah, 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 blah. No login is required. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. And your recommended media today, or Recmedia, is Security Now, thanks to eFoy. Good, great one. Tech TV's Leo Laporte and this other dude take 30 to 60 minutes near the end of each week to discuss important issues on personal computer security. Sometimes they'll discuss something that just happened. Sometimes they'll talk about long-standing problems, concerns, or solutions. Either way, every week they endeavor to produce something interesting and important for every personal computer user. Very cool. Check that out. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive and stay alive. This has been a free by 2Care. And if you care and you cannot donate to this program, please do distribute it. Give it away to people. Let people know that they can distribute this program for free. Talk to folks. Get it on shortwave. Let's get it around the world so that, you know what? Hey, I'm just a crazy guy. Just talking my own opinion over here, but see, people seem to dig it, and at least I'm good to keep you awake. But if you can donate and you want to do that just because you're so inclined, please do so by going to the Rant Media page, click on the Donate tab on the hot right, on the top right hot link, or send an envelope, Media Studios, Box 18121215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And if you want, you can also do a search on Google for The Scabbed Wings of Abaddon. You can get it through Lulu Press. It's my book. It's, you know, we're still in first printing. We're talking about doing a second printing, which is a little bit more heavily edited. But, you know, we don't know how long we're going to keep the first one up there. Sim and I were talking about it because there's a couple little editing things we need to fix in there, more than a couple. But, you know, that's okay. I wanted to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send to me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. The music in the background is all just tunes I had kicking around, but I'm going to fade out now with a track sent to me by Sporadic E, a wicked industrial cover of Rush's song Subdivision by Trench Run. And the clip in the beginning of the show was sent to me by Audio Skillet. Yeah, I'm doing that on memory. So thank you very much for those. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. We need to find reasons to be on the same page and not attacking each other. There are bigger fish to fry than some of the problems that people are bitching about in IRCs around the world. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.